Welcome to Alchemist X Innovators Inside, the podcast where we explore the world of corporate innovation and dive deep into the minds of thought leaders, high achievers, and risk takers. I'm your host, Ian Bergman, and together we'll uncover the challenges, triumphs, and secrets behind successful innovation journeys. Whether you're an aspiring entrepreneur, an industry veteran, or simply curious about the ever-evolving landscape of innovative ideas and what it takes to put them into practice, this is the podcast for you. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and let's embark on this exciting journey together.
Well, I am so unbelievably excited to have you today on the show with us on Alchemist Innovators Inside. I'm joined today by Juliette Miranda, a wonderful founder and executive at a startup that's participated in an Alchemist program. Juliette, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ian, so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here today.
We're excited to have you, and it's good to see you. It's been, I don't know how many months, I think, since we actually had a conversation. I feel like it may have been in person in Edmonton, in the basement of a community space, something like that.
You're right. I think it was. I think it was, we don't want to call it Hell Week, but Integration Week in Edmonton. And it was, we were in the hot seat. That's right. It was at the Edmonton Police Foundation in the evening after a long day, putting together a quick pitch. And I saw you.
Well, it was amazing. And that was, honestly, that was almost a year ago. It's amazing how time flies. But I'm really excited about the progress that you've been making. So let's just jump in. I'm going to ask you to introduce yourself. You're a founder. You're working on a cool business. I just found out you have some exciting news. Can you just tell us a little bit, what are you doing, and a little bit about how you started doing it?
Absolutely. So I'm originally from El Salvador. That's in Central America, the smallest country. And I came to Canada as a child refugee when I was only 7 years old. So I grew up in Edmonton, and I actually went to school for criminology, graduated from that, and saw an opportunity to support my dad with his family business. And that just from, you know, he preached to me to go into business for so long. And I said, no, no, no. I finished my graduate studies. And 2 weeks later, I'm full throttle business. And then so just after a few short years, I ended up purchasing his company and then launched as a full first time entrepreneur, and grew that company to be a multi-million dollar corporation here in Fort Macquarie, which is where I live. And now I'm on my first startup, and it's been a wild ride. It's been a wild ride.
That's definitely a wild ride. So you launched yourself kind of into the family business, and now you forked off into doing something a little bit different. So what are you doing? Tell us about Kid Drop.
Sure, of course. So Kid Drop is a transportation solution for busy parents. So we move kids to and from safely, from home to daycare, to hockey, to piano, really anywhere they need to go safely. Our drivers are vetted moms, and they're in uniform, and they're in really beautiful shuttle vehicles. So it's a pooled service. And it just sprouted as an idea. I was in 2018, I became a single mom, and thinking about how to merge my entrepreneurial spirit and my I need a job spirit.
Both important.
Both quite important. And saw an opportunity to support other families with logistical service that really serves parents in a time of need, sometimes even crisis, when you've got to get to work or you have to be somewhere at one time and you just can't stretch yourself. And I'm proud to say that it's something that really has taken off. And now we have seven shuttles in our fleet. We own a commercial property in Fort McMurray. I've been fortunate enough to participate in the CSW Accelerator through Alchemist X out of Edmonton. And as a graduate, it's opened up so many doors, so much more aware of what's possible. And if anything, it's taught me to dream bigger, bigger and bigger.
I love that, bigger and bigger. Well, and let's talk about this dream for a second. So I'm a parent. I've got a couple young kids. And boy, do I recognize this problem. They've got to be places, and I've got to be places, usually sitting in my basement typing or talking to people on Zoom. And, you know, I think every parent's going to understand this problem. But like any innovator, you're also asking for behavior change. You're asking for them to trust in you to do something new, and to trust you with their very, very most precious family members. So tell me a little bit about that. How do you succeed in this tough space?
Well, I think you have to look at it from the perspective of a parent, just like you said. So I'm a parent, but I'm a parent that's all about solutions. How do you, how to communicate something that is safe, that other parents will also join in, especially as an early adapter. When a service like this has never existed, you don't know. You're waiting for other people to kind of try. But the truth is that there's people that really need it. It's not even just a luxury item. It's actually required so that you can, function and support your family. And also open up opportunities for moms, typically moms of young kids, to be able to supplement their household income as they move through a transitional period where sure. You're not likely to be employed the same way. And it works out on both sides.
You know, it's interesting. One of these conversations I have with entrepreneurs, yes, but also corporate innovators, anybody trying to drive change, right? It's that that you're on to something when somebody's behavior is changing, right? They're making different decisions. They are spending money in a different way, whatever it is because of your solution. What kind of behavior is changing among your customer base? And when did you first notice it?
I would say that I noticed it a long time ago. So, in countries like where I'm from in El Salvador, kids shuttles to and from different places actually exists. Looking at places like Indonesia or China, this service is available in other fashions. But nothing like this has ever existed where I'm from. And as a graduate in criminology, I actually have an undergrad in social work as well. So I worked with a lot of kids in high-risk situations where, they're in transitional care or require movements to support, a child in the system, which is sad to say. And I saw taxis being used frequently. I saw I would take just taxis for the most part if you need something expedited and the social worker has to be present or some sort of aid. And it's a whole big thing and it's a costly thing. So knowing how I would say it behaves for a parent to say, think of Skip the Dishes. You can have your food delivered to your house. You don't even have to swing by and pick it up on your way home. And I think, if this kind of fluidity existed with children where your child was dropped off at home and you knew how to book it online and you would, the same type of steps and precautions are taken to get food, something as easy as food, then, wouldn't something for children that really supports busy parents and busy kids in their scheduling that I think has the behavior has already been, that pathway has already been paved. I think it's how do you support an offering in which, it could support families in real life situations is how I like to put it.
it's always messier in real life than it is on paper, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So what's one of those real life situations that maybe caught you a bit by surprise as you're building this business?
A real life situation. Well, actually, I had a mom reach out to me. This is launching into our fourth year. So this was about year two. And I had a mom reach out, inquire about the service, had, seen us at school or driving by, and wanted to have her child who's in half day. So they're early entry or kindergarten. And they only go to school for 2.5 hours, 2 hours and 15 minutes. It's just like, by the time you drop them off, you have to turn around and pick them up. And she said, while her child was in daycare, I've had to leave work during my lunch hour to move him around or logistically. And she called me, she said, this is the first time I'm having lunch at my office. And I've never been able to do that. And she said it to me in tears. It got me very emotional. And I realized, this is affecting people. And it's far beyond business. It's just really, if you solve a problem, a real problem for people, the money, the sales, all of that, it flows after. But I think that's where it was for me. I thought, parents are thanking me and I'm thanking them for their business. Then this is going to work.
It's a dang good indicator, right? When you're thanking each other. But that's amazing. And to your point, that human indication, when you solve a real problem for a person, right? No, you solve a problem for a human you can describe and they love you for it.
Yes.
Kind of feels like you're onto something.
feels like we're onto something. And the longer time goes by, the more research you have on your own, your customer base and your traction and all these other wonderful things that I learned in the accelerator that I really hadn't formulated in words or in print.
The buzzword city that makes up entrepreneurship these days.
That's right. And I can say confidently now that 40%, exactly 40% of our ridership is 4 years old. And I think it's interesting how, and we're talking about behavior, it's at that peak time when your child is about to enter, you know, school, where it's a scheduled program that now has to happen on a regular basis. And either the parent is about to go back to work, or they're having another child. And it's that customer base that makes up 40% of our business. And it's incredible to know that year three.
That's awesome. All right. So I've got one more question about your business. Now, you know, I love your photos online. It's you in front of vans, like big, nice vans, right? Like as you're moving kids around. So often when we're talking entrepreneurship, we're talking about tech businesses. Everything's in software. Everything's in microchips. Is KidDrop a tech business?
It is a tech business. Yes. It's a tech business with an offering that will sell that tech. That's how that is. So the tech, it took a little while to figure out, well, what should the tech have? You know, what is it that you need to build ahead of kind of building it? So initially, I mean, recognizing that there's a lot of moving parts, especially for such a custom service, because it's not like you're picking, you know, 8 kids up at this place and then dropping the same 8 kids off at a different place. It's all the movements are quite specific that you need to leverage technology in order to accomplish that, you know, responsibly. We quickly understood the need for an app for our drivers to be able to pre and post trip, to be able to see their itinerary, to be able to communicate, and then have visibility. So we have cameras on board, we have fleet tracking, we have driver performance reporting. So all of these integral technologies that we have invested in the software integration of it into our platform, the next volley will now to be building our own app. So that's next, but that's what we've formulated so far to be able to be considered, in my opinion, tech enabled.
Makes sense to me. And I like, honestly, like this is the stuff where it gives me goosebumps and jitters, right? Because you're taking all of these pieces of a tech stack that independently maybe aren't that complicated, but you can put them together and you can do something in the real world that makes a difference. So, I mean, I heard routing optimization, right? Like multivariable routing. I heard safety tracking and performance reporting, which is of course critical because parents want to know what's going on with their kids and, you know, there's liability. I heard all these things that it's funny because you talk about some of you where your family is from and seeing just kind of vans roaming around with kids in them. You've gone a long way beyond that. Using tech to sort of meet the needs of the modern parent that has certain expectations.
And I think that's what I'm really proud of. I think, you know, when you're launching from such a basic idea, right? Is like, how do I create an offering to help, you know, a handful of parents move kids around to something where now, you know, you're sought after for a franchise or so you're sought after for this market or that market. And recognizing that in order to accomplish these things, you really have to formulate appropriate policies, procedures, steps, and technology, naturally, that the offering just got bigger and grander and greater. And it's actually around school also forced me to kind of deep dive what's been happening in the yellow school bus model and why has nobody shooken it up? And, you know, here I come.
here you come. I love it. Like, I love, why isn't that such a thing? Why isn't this fixed? Oh, well, let's go.
That's right.
So speaking of let's going, I feel like I buried the lead a little bit here, but just before we started talking, you told me you have some pretty exciting news about the company. Do you want to share?
I do have some pretty exciting news. You know, a few months back, actually, when I returned from Austin, so I was able to go to Austin as an Alberta Innovates delegate, and which was a really cool arena to attend at South By to understand the investment arena in the U.S. market, which, you know, of course, the U.S. and Canada are so closely aligned. And when I came back, I received an email or an invitation to apply for a show called Dragon's Den. And that was, it's like the Shark Tank of Canada. And it was, as a longtime fan of the show and recognizing its, you know, its ability and its exposure and opportunity for investment, it really forced my hand into that, down that road, understanding your numbers, understanding what investors want, and understanding where you are and what your position is and how to properly express it for growth or for scalability. And so that's what I did. You know, I applied very naively first time to the show. They liked the idea. They liked my personality. I was invited to attend their show, season 18, which starts September this year. So I'll be on the show this year. So I'm not allowed to say too much about it. But what I wanted to share is that it did volley the conversation around investment. And then so I was able to, you know, formulate my proper proposal and offer. And this morning at 9 a.m., I was able to close on my very first investment, which is amazing.
Absolutely. Oh, congratulations. Unbelievable. Thanks. So I'm sure our whole audience is going to be watching Dragon's Den rapidly. Yay. Or, you know, raptly this fall, probably rapidly too, but I meant to say raptly. And then, and this is big news. So, you know, what's the investment for? What are you planning on doing now that you have an injection of capital to scale the business?
So the idea is that right now we had built a really incredible audience here in Fort McMurray, which is local where I am. And so the idea for scaling is to open up a secondary location in Grand Prairie. And we've made a lot of headway speaking to their economic development, Chamber of Commerce, the school boards, Rotary Clubs, and kind of align the launch of Kidrop into Grand Prairie. We've been so welcomed there. So we're launching in September. So that's part of the raise. And then the other is really to start going down the technology roadmap. So it's, you know, the technology roadmap has been built for some time and now it's time to execute. And I think we found the right developer with the right plan and the right time frame, so that hopefully by this time next year, we won't just be talking about Grand Prairie. We'll be talking about bigger cities like Edmonton and Calgary.
That's amazing. Well, congratulations on the progress. I also know that it probably wasn't always that easy. Change, innovation, entrepreneurship never is as easy as it seems in hindsight. Can we talk about some of the stumbling blocks along the way? Anything that, you know, those painful lessons learned that you might want to share?
Sure. You know, I think that if I'm the biggest lesson that I have learned now, recognizing, and again, you're never going to know everything. So you're always going to learn and do it differently if you could go back. So I'll start by that, because it took every building block that I had to my arsenal just to get here today. And so we'll just, yeah, so I wanted to say that. But as far as what I would have done differently is I didn't understand the power of proper planning. So I think that if I had a proper business plan, if I had, you know, even some projections or some insight into what I was planning to achieve or thought that I could achieve early on, I could have fundraised ahead of time and not had to kind of stumble financially along the way as, you know, do we do this or do we do that? How can we afford that? You know, say it was very, very hard. And I think that recognizing now that there's opportunity for pre-seed money, which is like just off a good idea and a good plan and, you know, understanding that you know what you're doing, that is a force, and that could really project or propel your venture far more successfully than kind of stumbling all along the way. Because, you know, what people don't realize is the second you decide to start your business, you are in the red. You are broke. Okay. So, and that's, you know, that's it. You can laugh about it that like now, but I think, you know, when at the beginning it was really tough, and then coming off of not just a divorce, but actually a bankruptcy during that time, which was really what I guess also what taught you to kind of reach out and you know, tap into some resources, because now I know that we're in Alberta, we are resourced up the yin yang for entrepreneurship. And if you're an entrepreneur and you don't know, or you're not taking advantage of these opportunities, then you are not doing enough to fill your, yeah, because there's enough to fill your boots.
you don't know what you don't know, right? And that leads to stumbling and lessons. You know, it's interesting. I was at a conference out on the East Coast last week, and a woman named Dr. Teresa Johnson, she's with Airbnb, said something on stage that I thought was super fascinating. She said, "I actually keep a failure resume, and I think everyone should." And that line has stuck with me because it is so brilliant and simple. And, you know, that list of these, call them failures, call them stumbling blocks, you know, call them things we just didn't know that we learned. It really does kind of provide a map of your development as an innovator, as a leader, as a person, and as a company. So I thought that was pretty cool. And I feel like you just kind of put a bullet on what could be a really interesting failure resume that entrepreneurs everywhere can learn from.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. You know, my co-founder, so KitDrop was started not just by myself, but I do have a business partner. His name's Josh Kalhofer. And he said something really eloquent to a similar point just about a week ago, where he said, you know, the trick to success is failure. You have to go and try and fail, and then go here and try and fail, and go here and try and fail. Like, the quicker you do that, the quicker you'll succeed. And that is success. Failure is success. And I wish it was merged together more often.
I love hearing that, because if there's one consistent theme on this podcast and in every discussion about innovation, right, it's that. And it's also about the recognition that that's easy to say, but it's kind of hard to live, right? We all feel personal accountability. We all have ego and pride. It's hard to learn through failure.
It is hard to learn through failure. But, you know, I think I'm really comfortable with being uncomfortable now, more so than I ever have. You know, I feel like I jump into these arenas where I just, let's just use this podcast for an example, Ian. Okay. This is an incredible opportunity. I feel privileged to be here with Ian on the show. It's, honestly, it's so special, but it's nerve-wracking. And public speaking, I mean, you talk to Christy, you could talk to Laurent. Public speaking was not my thing. It was the first thing that I shared with the group at the accelerator. I said, I just don't do well with this. I'm just forewarning everybody. And then, you know, by the end of it, we had really seasoned public speakers in our cohort that said to me, you know, you have a real opportunity to you know, have a voice and be heard, and people want to hear what you have to say. And there's a lot to be said for not just overcoming your fear, but just say yes and figure it out. Just say yes and figure it out. that's what I do. And you know, I think if you have the right attitude, the right mindset, the right dedication, you really can't go wrong. Even if you go wrong, even if you said that word wrong, or, you know, you stopped mid thought, whatever that is, just, you know, there's so much more gain. And I think we get caught up in our trips, and you're missing the whole race here.
There's someone famous who basically said this. I have no idea who they were, but like, you're never going to regret the things that you tried, right? You're going to regret the things that you didn't try. So just say yes and figure it out.
That's right.
How change is driven. It's easy. Yeah. Look at that. It's easy. We solved it.
Well, that's the other clue, actually. Somebody said to me, you know, the more you say that's hard, or this is going to be hard, you're just setting yourself for it being hard. Stop saying that. Start telling yourself that it's going to be easy. And it actually becomes easier. So just tell yourself it's easy. Lie to yourself. There it is.
I wasn't going to say it. I was going to talk about motivation. I was going to talk about setting achievable milestones. Julia's just like, let's just lie to yourself. We got this.
there's a synergy. There's an energy about that. And I think, you got to keep it light. You got to keep it light.
You do have to keep it light. I like that we've had a chance to do that in this conversation. So just kind of one more question that I've been wondering about. You're in a capital asset heavy business, right? So you're tech enabled, but you're in a capital asset heavy business. I talk to lots and lots of entrepreneurs who kind of shy away from that these days. They're thinking, oh man, there's a business stack of, you know, fintech startups that handle this and ops that handle this. And, you know, I don't actually have to carry anything on my books. I'm going to go build a business. How do you manage this balance of having to think about real assets. You got vans, you got people driving them around, you got cameras, and scaling and growing in the way that you envision.
I think that that was probably one of my biggest, like I said, went back to financing, because it is a capital asset heavy company to start and to launch and to kind of grow as it grows. And it has been a challenge. But I think, so, you know, a lot of the planning earlier on probably could have supported that a little bit better. But I am happy that, you know, we are here. But there's, you know, there's still a lot of questions to be asked or to be answered along the way. We've purchased vehicles. I've purchased vehicles for cash. I've leased them. I've rented them. So understanding each model and the benefits for which long term is hard to navigate through in such a short period of time. You know, like what's the lifetime of these vehicles? How expensive are they to fix? You know, which parts go first? And that's just on the fleet side, right? Then you have the people side. Well, who are you hiring the right people? Are you doing this? So I think that there's enough of a kind of an all-encompassing package that we've been able to build. And I think that is really my test now moving into Grand Prairie, is I believe I formulated a real playbook here. Let's go test it in a similar market. The population is similar. We have shift workers just like here. We have young demographics. So there's a lot of similarities between the two, but launching it in such a packageable way, because I always saw Kidrop as a franchise opportunity. I believe it. And, you know, I've received advice from different angles. You know, maybe you should be looking at an airplane model. Maybe you should be looking at, you know, a leasing model. Maybe you should be looking at all of these other owner operator model. But I've always seen this as a franchise. And so, you know, there's still things to work out and tweak long-term. But I think that I see Kidrop as a franchise with licensing software opportunities everywhere.
Amazing. And we're all going to be able to have point-to-point transport for our kids that's safe, reliable. I love it. Yes. Well, thank you for this conversation. What else should we have talked about? There's so much kind of texture to your journey here. What else did I forget to ask you that we should dive into?
Well, I will say that, you know, when we're talking about failures, and also we should recognize kind of successes. And I think, you know, in my arsenal as a person, as an entrepreneur, and as a philanthropist that I consider myself to be, is that, you know, a lot of success around business is built around building real relationships with people, building real relationships with organizations. You know, the Chamber of Commerce and the workshops that they come out to, whether that's as far as legal or insurance or whatever it is, you have to tap into those. You have to tap into, you know, conversations with the BDC. You have to conversations with, you know, in our case, with law firms. So we support social services and parents that are not in the best of relationships to support their kids with custody exchanges. So where kids move back and forth between houses of two parents that don't see eye to eye on most things. And that's another avenue in which we support our community. And it's through the relationships with the school boards, with the Boys and Girls Club, you know, your YMCA, and all of these avenues that have propelled our business. So recognizing that and moving forward into another territory, you know, this chamber will communicate with that chamber, and then that will help put your foot in the door into that conversation with that community. And those, that relationship is everything. And I think, you know, you need to understand why it's important to attend these things, why talk to different people, and then also to give back, you know, to attend these sponsorship or supportive opportunities, because they have to see you, you have to see them. And the more that you're in communication, the better it is for both of you, for your stakeholder in the community, but also for anything that you want to do and you need support. That's what it's about. So it's all about relationships, and I value that.
It's such good advice. Well, for folks who want to keep on top of what you're doing, what Kidrop is doing, and maybe get more of these nuggets of wisdom, what's the best way for them to follow you?
So you're welcome to follow myself, Julieta Miranda. But I'm attached to all the social media angles. So, and it's kid-drop.com is our website. Info@kiddrop is the email. Julieta@kiddrop is my personal email. I mean, anything kiddrop. So type it, Google kid-drop.com. You'll find me. I swear.
Anything kiddrop. And of course, tune into Dragon Den this fall.
Ah, yes, correct. Yes, I'm gathering an audience. I'm telling everybody I know. So please, yeah, watch it. It's a great honor to be down this journey.
That's how you bring value to the show, right? You boost the ratings. You're good to go.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Well, Julieta, this has been absolutely a pleasure. Thank you for joining us on Innovators Inside. I think your story is inspiring. It's educational. And you're driving change in the world. And I wish you the very best of luck as you grow and expand. And we're going to stay in touch.
Thank you so much, Ian, for having me. We booked this a couple months ago. I've been anxiously awaiting, and like how more special so on the morning of closing on an investment and being able to share that with you today. It's amazing. Timing is everything. I really believe that. And good energy and synergy. And Alchemist X is really, truly just a powerhouse. So if you ever have any opportunity, not even just for the podcast, but really looking into the program, you won't regret it. So thank you so much, Ian.
You heard it. You heard it here first. You're more than welcome. Have an incredible rest of your week.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Bye, everybody.
So that's a wrap for today's episode of Alchemist X Innovators Inside. We hope you enjoyed the conversation. If you found value and insight in today's discussion, please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and never miss an episode. Don't forget to share with your friends, colleagues, or anyone who is passionate about corporate innovation or just curious about great ideas and practical insights. Until next time, I'm Ian Bergman. Thanks for tuning in.